With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. The weather tonight brought to you by APA Medical. Right there, APA Medical. When it comes to looking at the Wolves, and specifically tonight's game, feel free if you want to call in, 651-989-9226. Wolves lose at the hands of the Golden State Warriors, one of the best teams you're going to see, like on planet Earth. I don't care what team you construct and put together. You can put together dream teams. That is like a legitimate NBA dream team. Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, who I can't stand. They didn't even have Boogie Cousins playing. Andre Iguodala, he's won a NBA Finals MVP before. They always find good role players and bench players. I said right before the break, if there was anything that I was a little bit frustrated by, it was Jarebko going off against us tonight. He had 18 points in 18 minutes. Now, that shouldn't happen. Seriously, that should not be happening. But when you're the Warriors and you got role players playing with Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers, that will happen from time to time. And that's what happened tonight. But it wasn't a Draymond Green offensive night. And he's had a bad year all the way around. It's going to be really interesting to see if Draymond Green remains in Golden State going into next season. Not sure that he will not be on the trading block here in the offseason. Kevin Durant, he'll be a free agent. He can do whatever the heck he wants. Will he team up with LeBron James? Will he exit to go to New York? Will he remain with the Golden State Warriors? We'll see. Klay Thompson, one of the best shooters we've seen of our generation. Phenomenal. Steph Curry, arguably the best shooter we've ever seen in the history of the NBA. They're just too good. And when you're the Minnesota Timberwolves and you've got a bunch of people hurt, that's not the recipe for success. Now, if you want to say, well, Lake, how would you evaluate the games of the guys that did play? Well, tonight, I really thought that, well, number one, we always had to start with Karl-Anthony Towns because he's amazing. Had another great night. And when I mean great night, he played to the tune of 26 points and 21 rebounds. So Cat did his thing. He's earning his check. He's earning his money. Andrew Wiggins was better. Not playing to the level that we believe that he could play up to, but he was better at least. He was better tonight. He ended up with 20 points. Shooting-wise, less than 50%. He was 8 of 19. 1 of 8 from 3. That was, to me, the sticking point. That was the problem. But he ended up with 20 points, 6 assists, and 8 rebounds. So he did more than just shoot the basketball. But the guy that I do get excited about in terms of watching, and it's regardless of whether he has a good shooting night or not, is Josh Okogie because of his energy and the effort that he plays with. He plays with so much desire and passion for the game of basketball that guys, a lot of times, they just feed off of that. He makes a lot of hustle plays, energy plays, gives your team great momentum with some of the energy that he brings to the court. Now, tonight was not going to be one of those nights because the Golden State Warriors are one of those teams that, okay, yeah, they'll give up a layup or two, and then they'll come down three possessions in a row and knock down three-point shots. One can be from KD, one can be from Klay, and one can be from Steph Curry, and then all of a sudden you're calling the timeout. So it wasn't going to work out that way tonight.
I had the sense tonight that the Warriors were, in a sense, toying with the Timberwolves.
You know,
the
Wolves, it felt that way.
The Wolves came out to, they had a 13-point lead in the first quarter for a minute, and it just seemed like, you know, the Warriors gave up a few open layups to the Wolves, and, you know, Wolves fans may be getting excited, here we go. And then, just like you said, it's just bang, 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 and all of a sudden the Wolves are, you know, in a tie game, and then flash forward to the fourth quarter, and they're down by 20.
Yep. And according to the text line, you can text the show at 81807 from one texter, forget the Warriors. It's teams like Atlanta and other scrubs we can't even beat. Look, I understand your frustration. Tonight it was about the Warriors. It wasn't about Atlanta. And yes, I was in attendance. I was at that Atlanta game and I was ticked off at what I was watching and what I was seeing. I believe we're a better team than the Atlanta Hawks. But the best team does not always win in the NBA or in any sport for that matter. But that's clearly a team you got to beat. You're supposed to beat the Atlanta Hawks. But we're not looking at the Atlanta Hawks. We're talking about the Golden State Warriors and the greatness that is Golden State Warrior basketball. But yes, I agree. We have to beat the teams that we should expect to beat are those teams that we look at and we say that, you know what, we're more talented than those teams. Okay? We have to beat those teams. Those are the teams that you have to build up your in the win column facing those type of teams, the Brooklyns, the Atlantas, the Charlottes. Because when you're facing those superior teams in the West, then you're going to have a lot of problems. We know that traditionally we have problems with San Antonio. I know we beat them up earlier in the year by, gosh, I want to say like 28 or 29 points. But you know, it's always going to be something with the Golden State Warriors. It's always going to be a problem when it comes to facing the Houston Rockets. The Denver Nuggets are a team and an organization that's going places. They're causing a lot of people problems right now. So, yes, I agree with the texture, though. When you're facing the lesser than, you got to knock those teams off. Another text from 81807 to the show. On February 26th, I predicted the Wolves would get 38 to 39 wins. I now think they may not get to 36 wins. Think about it. They will win only three more games this season. They're 3-9 in the last 12. Yes, you're going to lose a lot of games. When Robert Covington is not playing, when Derrick Rose is not playing, when you have a lot of guys that you're going to rely on, when they're not able to play, yeah, you're going to lose some games. That's any NBA organization, any NBA team. You take some of the star players out of the lineup, it's going to be a struggle. So I totally get that. 651-989-9226. Text line is 81807. Wolves lose tonight against the Golden State Warriors, 117-107. I like the fact that Josh Okogie played well again. There was a little bit of a struggle tonight on the offensive end from Saric and Tyus Jones. They didn't shoot the ball well. Specifically, Tyus was 3 of 14. But to me, Tyus is a guy that you can't just look at his shooting numbers. Tyus is a guy that's going to go out there. He's going to give great effort, and he's a floor general. That's what he does. You know, he's not going to always get it done on the offensive end, but he's so much more than just taking shots and trying to make shots. Anthony Tolliver, it's going to be interesting because Anthony Tolliver, I was critical of the signing last summer. When they snatched him up, because I felt like Anthony Tolliver, I think a lot of fans want to prop up his ability to knock down 3-point shots, and he can knock down a few 3-point shots, but I don't look at Anthony Tolliver as like a dead-eye shooter. That's just not how I view him, nor have I ever viewed him that way. And the reason why I feel that way is because it's one thing to knock down shots in games that are meaningless, or when the season is over. So like for right now, the Timberwolves, we know they're not going to the postseason. So if Anthony Tolliver has no pressure in meaningful games and he knocks down 3-point shots, what's really happening? What's really going on? And so that's why I said to myself, I said, Anthony Tolliver can knock down a 3-point shot, but can he knock down a 3-point shot with a hand in his face in a tight game where there's so much that's riding on the line? And I don't believe that he's that guy. He is one of the nicest guys in the world. I think that he is one of the, you're talking about a very articulate guy. He's always saying the right things and doing the right things. And you're talking about a hard worker. That's Anthony Tolliver. But when it comes to, if you want to just say flat out, that's your sharpshooter, I'm not buying into that at all. Outside of that, It was a tough night for Taj Gibson because he goes out, only plays 9 minutes, goes out with the calf strain due to injury. So not overall the night that you would have liked from the standpoint of having star players on your roster having the ability to play when you know that guys are hurt and not going to play, and then you have another key piece that doesn't play in Taj Gibson. Of course, it's going to be an extremely long night for your squad. All right, we can take a break, come back and take some more phone calls when it comes to, or take a phone call if you'd like to chime in about Wolves basketball. But one more segment of Wolves basketball, then we'll transition to other things. NCAA, the Minnesota Vikings re-signed a guy. Robert Kraft is in the news again in regards to his legal ordeal. So much more to get to here on Lake Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. Back with you here on Lake Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. I do want to give a shout out as we come back from break. And the shout out goes to Alan Horton. You talking about a guy doing announcing for the Timberwolves games. He's Superman on the radio. Because when it comes to, like, broadcast, we have broadcast teams, okay? They talk about broadcast teams on television as well as the radio. This guy's a one-man wrecking crew. He gets it done. And I can't remember who I was having a conversation. I think, well, no, it was DJ. It was you a couple days ago. We were talking about how great of a job he does just by himself. And he's been doing this for years. But think about sitting down every single night, breaking down a basketball game, and you're doing the play-by-play, and you're your own analyst. Now, I know that there are people driving around saying he's just evaluating the game, but that's not an easy task. There's so much going on. Like, he's doing the play-by-play, he's giving and relaying his thoughts about what's going on, and at the same time, he's got people in his face that's trying to get him stats and get him this and get him that. Phenomenal job by Alan. He does an amazing job.
Yeah, the ability to weave in the play-by-play, describing what's happening on a basketball court, and stats, storylines, audio from earlier in the day, all of that together is amazing. A good example of that I heard on my way in today is he was talking about the Warriors coach, Stephen Kerr, and his record. He was the first coach to get to the quickest coach ever to get to 300 wins. His winning percentage is well over 700 as a coach. He's just, you know, been phenomenal in his 5 years with the Warriors. But for Allen to weave in a story like that, or dozens of others he does every game, and still pay attention to what's going on and who's in foul trouble and who's hot in the game is amazing.
I think it's also amazing when I heard this stat on the pregame, and I'm not sure if you heard this stat, but it was stated during the course of the pregame that since Steve Kerr has been coach of the Golden State Warriors, that they haven't had a losing road trip. What? Like, that's... That would be incredible. That would be absolutely incredible. And so if they go on the road for six straight games, the worst that they've done is split. That's remarkable if that's absolutely true. Well, how about this from Alan Horton's Twitter account earlier tonight? This is pretty amazing. Steph Curry's third quarter, 22 points. He shot 7 of 8 from the field, 4 of 5 from three, 4 of 5 from the free throw line, 2 assists, and 0 turnovers. Steph Curry is amazing, isn't he? And this is the thing that we'll always have to deal with. The fact that David Kahn passed on him in the NBA draft. I remember vividly sitting at Target Center that night and saying to myself and being frustrated that when it came to the draft, we went Rubio Flynn. And what did Kahn say to the media that night? And I laughed when I heard it, and I laughed when I talked about it on the air that night. He said that he envisioned both of them playing in the same backcourt together. That didn't even make sense. Stop it. Anybody that had watched highlights of Rubio or saw Flynn play at the college level knew that that wasn't going to work. That wasn't going to be a recipe for success at the NBA level. Flynn, out of here. Wasn't any good in the NBA. Rubio, eventually, over time, developed into a solid point guard when we finally got him here to Minnesota. But that was so frustrating. You think about Timberwolves fans being frustrated during the course of that time. That was frustration. I was never buying that backcourt was going to work. I shouldn't even think about all those old negative memories, should I? Should I? But yeah, what could have been with Steph Curry? What could have been with Steph Curry? And I know that there were rumors leading up to the draft about how he didn't want to be drafted by Minnesota, and we hear stuff like that all the time. But yeah, that was super frustrating to see Steph Curry go and then immediately start having success in the NBA. Having success in the NBA, and now he's headed to the Hall of Fame. He's got 3 championship rings. 3 rings. 3 rings. But hopefully one day, Karl-Anthony Towns will be able to bring some rings to Minnesota. And I know that there are a lot of people out there right now like laughing, like, ha, 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 like, you're funny. Kevin Garnett couldn't bring us any rings. So what makes you think Kat's going to? I'm forever the optimist. Forever the optimist. But once again, Golden State defeats our Wolves 117-107. A great night for Karl-Anthony Towns. It's been a great season for Karl-Anthony Towns. He ends up on the evening, massive evening, 26 points, 21 rebounds. Andrew Wiggins had a serviceable night, 20 points, 6 assists, 8 rebounds. Didn't shoot that well from the field, 8 of 19, but look, we see people shoot a lot worse than all of that. But yeah, it's just a simple case of when you're sitting there and it's the Golden State Warriors and it's the Minnesota Timberwolves, you're just outmanned right now. So if anybody out there listening is bitter, don't be bitter. I said that at the beginning of the show tonight. Don't be bitter with the Wolves. I love the Wolves. Don't be bitter with the Wolves. You're facing the NBA champions, the Golden State Warriors, Hall of Famers in Steph Curry, eventually, Kevin Durant, eventually, and Klay Thompson, eventually. They're the best team in the world right now. And they are the team that I think a lot of people still expect to win the NBA title. So if you think that the Wolves are going to be able to, and they put up a good fight, and they close the gap there in the end, but you're just overmanned, right? There's too much firepower right now with the Golden State Warriors because they have so many great players. So don't be disgruntled at all with the Wolves. All right, coming up. Today's top story comes your way in 60 seconds. And, hey, we got to talk NCAA brackets and tournament because the first four in? How do they phrase that? Is it the first four in? Or is it they call it the play-in games.
Yeah, or I think it's just called the first four.
The first four. Thank you. The first four. You have 2 play-in games that occurred tonight. We'll get you the winners and talk about the brackets here on The Lake Night Show on 830 WCCO.
I'm Laura Oakes. As flood concerns mount in several areas of the state, a call for volunteers in Stillwater specifically. Mayor Ted Kozlowski says they'll be filling sandbags starting Thursday ahead of what's expected to be major flooding in the River City, flooding that could impact MnDOT's work on the old lift bridge.
MnDOT had a lot of equipment and stuff underneath the lift bridge that they're using to do their rehabilitation project. That we're all really excited for. They had to go out on airboats and help MnDOT and their construction crew get a lot of equipment out from underneath the bridge.
Meanwhile, spring can't come soon enough, and it's upon us tomorrow.
So I'm excited to be able to get outside. I was telling Tess that I want to get out and skateboard.
Perfect.
I'm excited to skateboard.
Spring officially arrives at 4:58 tomorrow afternoon. Mostly clear and cool tonight, overnight low 28. That's your top story. I'm Laura Oakes on News Talk 830 WCCO. Now back to the show.
All right, that weather report brought to you by APA Medical. Welcome back to Lake Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Got a quick retweet from Lindsey Vonn. She's going through and she's doing the Ask Me Anything. And the question was, well, she said Q&A, anyone. And I asked her a question. I said, as a world-class athlete, what physical activity do you think you'll take up or utilize more in your free time, being you're super competitive? And she retweeted me and answered the question. She says, I don't know. I'd love to say tennis, but I can't run. I would love to be in the water more and scuba dive. And she's talking about using the elliptical machine. She'd like to do that more. And then she said more abs. Lindsay's, come on. More abs? She's got abs. More abs. I ain't mad at you, though. Who doesn't like a good set of abs? I'm working on my abs. But that's from Lindsey Vonn. So she retweeted me and answered the question. Shout out Lindsey Vonn. All right. Shout out Golden Gophers, because the tournament's coming up and it starts on Thursday. And we face Louisville. I don't know if I need you to do me a favor. Can you look up, go to VegasInsider.com and see if the line is still at 5 points or if it's moved down? I wonder if Gopher fans have any faith right now. Do they believe that we're going to be able to pull off the upset? Because I think that I think the Gophers can pull off the upset. But we'll see how all that stuff plays out. But I do believe that they're going to have a good opportunity at beating Louisville. But then again, knowing me and the way that my brackets have been the last couple of years, I've been on a struggle bus a little bit. As much college basketball as I watch too, it doesn't matter. There's going to be upsets. But I think that the Gophers have a good shot at being able to pull off the upset. But currently, do you know what the line is? Do you see it?
It's right at 5.
It's right at 5. So it's still at 5. Because I think it opened at 6, then it went down to 5, and I don't think that it's moved since. So right now, you can still get, if you're a Gopher fan, if you're headed out to Vegas, a lot of people go out to Vegas for the opening weekend of the March Madness. You can get the Gophers plus five. And there's one player in particular that I want to talk about a little bit later in the show, and that's Dupree McBrayer, because I'm rooting for him big time. Getting to the NCAA tournament is going to be an awesome experience for him in his senior season. But I want to talk about him right after the top of the hour when it comes to Golden Gopher basketball. Hey, next segment, by the way, we are going to be giving away Twins tickets for the home opener. Okay? Next segment, we're going to play a little bit of trivia, and we're going to give away a pair of opening day tickets right here on Lake Night. But when it comes to the NCAA tournament, let's focus on that here this segment. You had a couple of first four games, and the way that it played out in the first four was the first game of the night was Fairleigh Dickinson University facing Prairie View, and Fairleigh, they won 82-76 over Prairie View, so that is the first matchup that shook out tonight. And then the second matchup, I didn't see what the final score was. Oh, the final score right here, Belmont. And that was actually a pretty entertaining game because we have multiple TVs on in the studio. We got four of them, and we had the Wolves on, we had the Wild on, and we had the first four games in. And Belmont defeated Temple 81-70. So 81-70, that was the score for those particular matchups tonight. I thought that the Belmont game was really, really fun to watch. It was back and forth for the majority of the game when they're facing Temple. And Temple came out, and it was a little bit of a struggle early, and Belmont jumped out to a lead, and then Temple went on a run. And they built up, I want to say, like a 7 or 8 point lead, and then it was kind of nip and tuck for the majority of the end of the first half into the second half, and then with about 7 minutes remaining in the game, that's when Belmont really pulled away. But as we get closer to Thursday and we get closer to 11:15 and the tip-off of the tournament with the Gophers, my opinion hasn't changed from when the brackets were unveiled. Louisville, this year's team, isn't the most talented Louisville team that you've seen in years past. Now they got a couple solid pieces, but it's not the typical Louisville team that you're looking at. They're typically a high seed, a 3 or 4 or 5. No, this is a Louisville team that's 7th in terms of the seeding, and the Gophers are right there at 10. And I think that the Gophers, from a matchup perspective, one of the things that they're going to have to do is convert buckets in transition. I stated it when I first saw the brackets. I know that I've been on a couple of shows now and talked about it on Fox 9 on Sunday night. But Amir Coffey, him finishing transition buckets, McBrayer, him finishing transition buckets, that's going to have to happen on Thursday morning. And then if that's not happening, somehow, some way, when it comes to the half-court set, you're going to have an individual like Jordan Murphy, who's as tough as they come in the post, in the Big Ten. He, alongside Daniel Turu, is going to have to get it done on the boards and in the paint. The thing that has killed the Gophers at times, and it almost knocked them out of the tournament, because I truly, in my heart, believe if they don't beat Penn State in that Big Ten tournament, they're probably out of the Big Dance. I believe that. And they almost lost that game. Luckily, they were able to get it to overtime and outlast Penn State in overtime. The second chance points. When the Gophers get hammered on the glass and their opponents getting so many second chances by getting offensive rebounds, never works out well for the Gophers. Now, we got lucky against Penn State. All right? That was good. We'll take the W there. We needed the W there. The Gophers were like Jameis Winston. They were trying to eat a W right there. Jameis never gonna lay that down. Gotta eat the W, smacking his lips. But the Gophers, they cannot have and give up second chance points. It's not gonna work. And another thing that occurred later in the Big Ten tournament, in the game in which they were ousted by Michigan, and this is with any team, you go almost 6 minutes of not being able to score the basketball, that's going to be a problem. You're going home early. You're catching a flight the next day. If you have that many trips down the court and you can't score. And there are teams in this tournament that have at times shown that they can be awesome offensively challenged. And we're talking about teams that are even ranked. Texas Tech has had its struggles from time to time. They're a 3 seed, and I like their team because they're so damn good defensively, which the Gophers struggle defensively at times. Florida State, damn good defensively. And I like overall their athleticism, but I've seen them have stretches where they struggle to score. So if you end up with a situation where you're getting from one TV timeout to the next and you haven't scored a bucket, that's going to be very much a problem. All right, coming up next, we're going to give away a pair of opening day tickets to see your Minnesota Twins. We're going to do a little bit of trivia here. We're going to have a trivia question, and then we'll open up the phone lines for that. But also, a few things that they're going to be doing when it comes to Target Field. And they're opening Target Field just 9 days away. We'll talk Twins and give you a chance to win opening day tickets next here on Late Night. All right, welcome back to Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO, your home for Minnesota Twins baseball, Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. But when it comes to Minnesota Twins baseball, we're just a little over a week away. And for the rest of this week, we'll be giving away on this show a pair of tickets to see your Minnesota Twins on opening day. So how are we going to do this? Because we got a few things we're going to get to. The Twins made some announcements in regards to opening day earlier. But what we're going to do is, I think we're going to do, well, we're going to do a trivia question. DJ, David Joseph is going to get you the trivia question. And then from there, we're going to get a winner.
There we go. Well, this is the trivia question, but do you know who's the opening day starter for the Twins this year?
Come on. It's got to be Jose.
Yeah.
Come on.
Barrios.
Yeah.
Will get the start after just an awesome year last year. And that will be his first opening day start. as a member of the Twins.
Yeah, because last year it was it, who was it last year? Was it Irv or was it Kyle? I can't remember who it was. I wasn't here last year, but I'm assuming it was it Irvin Santana?
It was Jake Odorizzi.
Oh, he was the opener last year.
He was,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think there was some, man, I remember some drama around that. I think they announced it late last year.
Okay. Maybe Irv was out with the injury.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's right. That's right. Irv was out with the injury. That's right.
So, but for this question, we're giving away tickets to opening day in 9 days. The first person that can call and tell us what Twin made the most consecutive opening day starts as a pitcher. What Twin made the most consecutive opening day starts as a pitcher?
Yep.
First caller that can give us the correct answer, I will win those tickets to opening day.
Yep, 651-989-9226. The phone number again, 651-989-9226. Which starting pitcher, Twin starting pitcher, has the has started the most consecutive starting days? Like opening day pitcher. So when it comes down to it, who is that guy? Now, I will say this. I started thinking about it, and I got it right with the first guess. So I think that many people out there driving around listening will probably get this, but we'll see how it plays out. You know, I got lucky a little bit. So we'll see how this plays out. So Dave is he's screening phone calls right now, and we'll get to those phone calls in just 1 second. But I'm optimistic about what we're going to see this year. I really am. I'm optimistic about what we're going to see from the Minnesota Twins. I think it's going to be a bounce back. Last year, it didn't work out so well, but we've added a couple pieces, and I'm looking forward to a bunch of home runs from Nelson Cruz. All right, who do we have first on the line?
Let's go to Kevin in St. Paul.
All right, what's up, Kevin?
Hey, good evening. My guess is the Hall of Famer, number 29, Bert Blyleven.
Oh, that is not correct. That is not correct. Hey, thanks for the phone call. That was good guess. And I was wondering of which generation, and I actually got this one right. Who's next, DJ?
Well, let me just first say, Bert Blyleven had 5 consecutive opening day starts, and he is the second on this list. That's a great guess, but.
Great guess, but that was not the winning guess.
Let's go to Randy in Geneva.
What's up, Randy?
Hey, Henry. How about Jim Perry?
Who'd you say?
Jim Perry.
That is incorrect. Incorrect. Man, that's incorrect. Oh, and the listening audience knows this guy. Like, we're not – I shouldn't probably give this hint – but I think people are thinking way too far back. It's not as far back as you would think.
Let's head over to Mike in Minneapolis.
Mike in Minneapolis. What's up, Mike?
Let's go with Johan Santana.
Oh, no. That is not the correct answer. It is not Johan Santana. Man, Johan was a phenomenal pitcher. But that's not the correct answer as well. And remember now, when he just a couple of minutes ago, DJ had stated that Bert was second, right? You said Bert was second with 5, right? Bert was second with 5. All right, who else do we have on the
dock? Let's head over to Bob in Bloomington.
All right, we're going to head to Bob in Bloomington. What's up, Bob?
Hey, I'm Brad Radke.
You are correct, sir. You are correct. You are correct, Brad. So you're going to be receiving, you've won a pair of tickets to the Twins opening day, March 28th, 2019, against the Cleveland Indians. And we're going to put you on hold, all right? Congratulations.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you for listening.
And Brad Radke had 7.
And Brad Radke had 7, yeah.
Consecutive opening day starts from 99 to 2005. He's actually started 9 opening day games for the Twins. And get this, his record was 7-2. He won 7 opening day starts for the Twins.
And I did get that on my first guess.
You did.
That was
you
the
did.
Guy. I was like, which generation are we talking about? It's probably not that long ago. And I said, Brad Radke. So everybody gets lucky every once in a while, right? But Brad Radke. But congratulations to Bob in Bloomington. when I think about the Twins, and we're only 9 days away, and we're going to be giving away tickets all week long, guys, okay? We're going to be giving away tickets all week long. So we'll give away a pair of tickets tomorrow night. We'll give away a pair of tickets on Thursday night and Friday night as well. So we got plenty of more tickets. Actually, one of the nights remaining here for the rest of the week, we'll give away two pair of tickets, whichever night that we choose to. But Brad Racky, man, that's a blast from the past. One of the reasons why I'm really, really optimistic about this bounce back, and we've been talking about this since last week, is I think that the starting pitching is going to perform at a higher level than they did last season. I think you're going to have maybe a little bit more pop in the lineup with Nelson Cruz's bat. And just overall, I think that if Miguel Sano develops into the player that we think that he is, and I know that he's going to be out the first month, and Byron Buxton, what he showed you here in spring training, if that can go from spring training and cross over into regular season baseball, and he shows that, yes, the newer version of Byron Buxton, the muscular version of Byron Buxton, if that guy is, if he's ready to step up and ascend and be the player that we all think that he can be, and not just be web gym guy, then I think that we're on to something. Because that, to me, is going to be probably the key factor in this team taking that next step. Because we all believe that Buxton's a talented young man. And we all have noted, according to all the people that have talked about Buxton that have been down to spring training on this radio station, all the people within the organization that have talked about Buxton. We talked to Derek Falvey last week about Buxton and him adding the muscle and growing into his body more. The thing about Buxton is, if that offense can be consistent and that work out, then it's all going to be fine for this team. I truly do believe that. Because the issue with Buxton isn't the fact that he's not good at playing defense. Like, there are a lot of players in Major League Baseball that have deficiencies, that have flaws. But what is he good at? He is extremely good at being an outstanding defensive player. He's making web gyms all the time. All the time. Now we just got to get him to get that offensive game together. Once he's able to do that, and we're not talking about just utilizing his speed around the bases. We're talking about hitting some more home runs, upping that batting average, not having to just try to bunt to get on base, or beating something down the line, but getting clean hits, and not having to worry about whether you're going to get to first base or not. That's all going to be key in terms of the growth and maturation of his game and him as a player in this organization moving forward. When you first were coming up with that trivia question,
yeah,
did you think in any way it was going to be Racky?
You know,
because you did the research on that one.
Yeah, I didn't guess before I looked it up, but Racky would have certainly been in my top three.
Okay.
I think I would have thought about Blylevin, and I would have thought about Santana.
Santana did make sense. I know one of the callers had mentioned Santana. That did make sense.
But, you know, Radke was here for so long, and he was, you know, he's maybe not the best pitcher ever, but he was so consistent for so long. And let's be honest, for many of those years, the Twins were not a great ball team in the 90s there. So it doesn't surprise me that he was on that list.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, coming up in just a matter of moments, we got CBS News at the top. But one of the things I want to dive into, we get back to talking Golden Gopher basketball, because for one Gopher, this has been a very emotional season, and hopefully he can get a victory in Des Moines. We'll get to that next year on Late Night on News Talk 830 WCCO.